Hi, and welcome to Write Better Now, a podcast of quick weekly writing tips meant to help you become a better writer.
We're your hosts, and I'm here with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones and wife extraordinaire.
And I'm here with copy editor extraordinaire Sean Farrar.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey.
Hey, baby. What's your backstory?
It's that I married you, honey.
Oh, that's not long backstory. That's short. I want the full thing.
So
I want to really get to know you, girl.
A long time ago, we talked about backstory on our podcast.
Like somebody I'd like to get to know intimately, but in detail, I mean. Forgive me, I've only had one beer so far.
Okay, anyways, a long time ago, we talked about backstory on our podcast, Dogs Are Smarter Than People. But if Sean can keep it in his pants, we thought it would be pretty helpful to quickly talk about it here on Write Better Now, right?
Yeah.
Also, disclaimer, there's a blizzard happening as we record this, so you can kind of hear it.
Yeah, if you hear, like here, it's happening here.
Yeah, right now. So, hey baby, what's your backstory?
Sounds like a pickup line at a bar, baby, yeah, but only for an author, I guess.
But it's somehow not a pickup line at any bar that I know of, except maybe in a New Yorker cartoon.
Or in a town that has a bar where there's one of those MFA programs like the one you went to.
Yeah, and writing and literature for literary people doing literary things.
Yeah.
So anyway, backstory is a term that writers throw around all the time.
Yeah.
And it is basically just how we imagine our characters' lives before they're in the actual story that we're writing.
So I just had this big image of this professor-looking guy, you know, with the tweed jacket with the elbow patches pulling up in his little MG midget convertible to the neighborhood bar.
Yeah.
And he walks in all suave because he's like fully tenured professor and he thinks he's the king. Whatever. And then he walks up to some chick at the bar and he's like, "Hey, baby. What's your backstory?" And then he gets slapped across the face because she thinks he's talking about something dirty.
Oh my gosh, my dog's snoring. All right, so basically,
yeah, it's the formative experiences that make your character who they are today in the story of your novel or poem or essay or short story.
Or the professor at the bars.
Or, yeah, like a movie script.
Yeah,
that's what you're writing.
Right. So, I know. How can you imagine that your character had a life before your story? How did I have a life before Sean? It's like imagining your spouse had a life before you that wasn't totally centered around you.
I'd never think that.
All right.
I think that your life started the day you met me.
You know you're supposed to read the line, "Us narcissists have a hard time."
Oh, well, we do.
So Stephen Moffat in the Doctor Who A Christmas Carol said,
"Do you know, in 900 years of time and space, I've never met anybody who was more, well, who wasn't
who was
important.
More important than you."
Let me do that again, just so Stephen Moffat can get his real cred. Do you know, in 900 years of time and space, I've never met anybody who wasn't important?
That's really important. All right, so according to a post on nownovel.com, there are three uses of backstory.
Number one, developing the understanding of the characters.
Like if your dad dies of a heart attack in front of you and you can't save him, then your character might have a savior complex. That helps the reader understand your character's motivations.
Number two, it can heighten the stakes and the suspense.
So like you were once addicted to dating cops and cops are always bad for you. Will you date this one? No, no, you must not. Peter Reeds knows that about you, and they're like, "No, don't do it again."
Number three, it makes it real, damn it.
Yeah. So by the time you make it into a book, you know, your story.
Yeah.
You're your character. You're not going to be a blank slate, born out of Zeus's head, or a clamshell fully formed on the page. We all have prologues.
Yeah, we do.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So there's a nice link about this for those of you who read this on my blog from Standout. is sourced in the blog and podcast notes. But they ask, how much backstory does a story need? And answer its own question very simply yet obscurely.
If judged solely on complexity, the answer to how much backstory should I include would be enough to pay for the reader's efforts. However, you also need to consider immersion.
Blah, blah, blah. So, here's our advice. Ready about backstory and putting it in there?
Yeah.
One.
Don't be fake. Don't be pretend. We all know people who show up at a party, engage in small talk about absolutely nothing other than the weather, the traffic, where they work. There's no underlayment. It's like there are a rug thrown on the floor. But if you touch that rug, it will just slip away because there's nothing holding it there. Ooh, backstory's an anchor. Do not let your characters be rugs.
That's right. Backstory is an anchor, baby.
I know. I'm a brilliant genius.
Oh, that was a brilliant genius.
Ground those suckers with nails and staples if you have to. Mod podge them to the floor. Give them a life before you.
Number two, don't tell us everything about those characters. We do not know that they prefer Aquafina to pulling spring water, or that they have an ingrown toenail when they were 24, any more than you want us to know about the guy at the party's hemorrhoids treatment, unless it's really good, right? be sparing, right?
Yeah,
like be sparing with your details. Make them relevant to who that character is now and what's going on in their story.
I mean, some of those might be cool, like
the hemorrhoids?
That could be funny, at least.
You want to be at the party hearing about the hemorrhoids?
Well, if it's told in a humorous manner.
All right, yes, but...
because, you know, I like humor, especially at other people's expense, so... Some guy's talking about his roids getting tied off and removed. That could be funny. He couldn't use his bidet for 2 weeks after while he healed up and was driving him nuts. Dude,
we are the least NPR sounding group podcast in the world. All right,
so... but anyways... I'll take the next one.
All right.
Don't lump all that backstory together in paragraph after paragraph of exposition. That makes the forward motion of the story disappear.
That's right.
You know, you're really good at that.
Thank you.
Not doing that.
Thank you.
Like, you're constantly sprinkling little things in there that are like details about a person's personality.
My dog is really snoring.
I'll take the next one, too. This is a monologue now. If you can show the backstory via dialogue or flashback, short ones, it's so much better than telling it in a big, ugly paragraph.
That's right.
You can have the last one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Mine your character's experiences and memories and mementos from those of yourself or famous people or friends or anecdotes. Sometimes authors have a really hard time creating that backstory.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to steal.
Oh, yeah,
from other people's lives.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah. Stephen King said that the most important things to remember about backstory are that A, everyone has a history, and B, most of it isn't very interesting.
I'll agree with Stephen on that one. So you got to pick and choose, right?
Yeah, man.
You put in the book.
Yeah.
So the writing tip of the podcast, all condensed, is find the balance in your backstory and your life. Backstory is important, but it shouldn't take over the current story.
And that's true about your life too, right?
That's true.
Don't be mired in the drama, backstory, trauma, go, past.
Gotta move on beyond it.
Gotta move forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Deal with the front matter, not the back matter.
Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now.
Hey, thank you so much.
And we're sorry about the dog and the blizzard.
Oh, the snoring dog and the howling wind.
Yeah,
oh,
wow. It's all right. It just gives it atmosphere.
That's right. Hey, thanks for listening to Write Better Now. These podcasts and more writing tips are on Carrie's website, carriejonesbooks.blog. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, or share this podcast.
There's a donation button over there on my blog and lots of other content. And honest to goodness, I sound like such a mama. Honest to goodness, even a dollar inspires us to do a happy dance. So, thank you for your support. The music that you hear is made available through the Creative Commons, and...
it's a bit of a shortened track from the fantastic Mr. Ruiz, and this track is Arctic Air, off the album Winter Haze, Summer Days. So that person smokes... You got weed-themed music on our stuff, honey.
All our podcasts.
Broke for Spleef.
Hey, and if you like this podcast...
Summer Spleef.
You can listen to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, or Carrie Does Poems, or Loving the Strange. Thanks for listening.
The other two are funny. This one's serious.
So serious.